In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. What do we have today? It's the feast of St. Agatha, one of the early martyrs. So we'll hear about St. Agatha, our saint for today, but also I'd like to speak a little bit about Elisabetta Conori Mora. She was Italian, if you couldn't tell. She was born in 1796, or no, sorry, in 1796 she married a wealthy Italian man who was horrible. And this, actually, I was just thinking the other day. I talked about Saint Jane of Valois and how she prayed for affection for her husband, who was not a good man at all. Elizabeth, she had a similar experience. Her husband was rotten. It says he was jealous, controlling, didn't like her family, resentful, verbally abusive, and finally cold and indifferent. Right, ladies, I don't want to see your heads going like this. Don't do that. Right. But she dealt with it as best she could. She was dealing with it. And this goes both ways, right? Her example is true on either side. You know, many men, they're married to a difficult woman, right? I mean, probably the same woman thinks her husband is difficult back and forth. But she dealt with it, right? She dealt with it as best she could. They had four daughters. Two of them died in infancy. And then he began a relationship with another woman. He spent time with her. He neglected his family. He spent his money on this other woman. And at one point, he lunged at her with a knife, didn't end up cutting her, but it was not good. She became very, very ill and continued caring for her daughters, and she was having to work for herself. And interestingly, what she did is she started helping the poor, people poorer than herself. Rather than draw inward and get bitter about things, her life and her, because she was a wealthy family, born into one, and now she was in poverty. Rather than try to regain her wealthy state or bemoan the fact that she was impoverished by her wicked husband, she just started giving money away to the poor, poorer than herself. One of her daughters got married. Another one became a nun. She herself joined the Trinitarian order for the redemption of captives. And she became noted for her. She had a reputation for holiness, for mystical experiences, and even for miracles. And the greatest miracle occurred on her deathbed. She's there with her two daughters. They're taking care of her, and she dies on her bed of a sickness, and her wicked husband had heard of this, and he came right after she died, and he wept at seeing her there, had a complete conversion, left his mistress, joined the Trinitarian order himself, and a few years later was ordained a priest. So completely, completely changed. And it was because of her prayers. It was because she didn't allow herself to get bitter, but kept praying for him through her whole life. And she never saw. She never saw her husband turn around. But that is, as I mentioned yesterday, I think it was St. Joan of Valois, that queen was married to the wicked king. She prayed for affection for him. And Elisabeth Conori Mora, she just prayed for her husband's conversion up to her death and beyond her death. And that affected it. So don't lose hope, right? You may never see your husband's or your wife's turn around in this life, but your prayers can save his or her soul. Don't give up. Keep praying. St. Agatha, our saint for today, similar, one of those virgin martyrs whose beauty was her the cause of her martyrdom. If she wasn't so beautiful, the governor wouldn't have wanted to marry her, and then he wouldn't have tortured her because she refused, saying that I'm given to Christ. So it's one of those liabilities, right? Great beauty comes at a cost. And I guess any young women today, they kind of know that already. Like, yeah, it's good on one hand, but on the other, sometimes it's not so appreciated. That's why it's important to have the right kind of beauty. Beauty should inspire others. It shouldn't cause them, it shouldn't be for your sake to aggrandize your own ego or anything or to cause lust, but to cause appreciation. That's what beauty is for. St. Agatha had that, she possessed it, and she kept it. And as we read for many, many, many of the virgin martyrs, in fact, she's the last of a whole slew of virgin martyrs, not to be, I guess, what is that, ironic? Beginning November 22nd with St. Cecilia and ending tomorrow with St. Dorothy, there are 10 or 11 virgin martyrs that have all occurred in the past 2 months. There's St. Anastasia, St. Lucy, St. Bibiana, St. Barbara, St. Cecilia, Catherine of Alexandria, St. Dorothy, Margaret of Antioch, St. Martina, St. Philomena. Two of those are in August and July. And then Agnes, or Agatha, today. So there's a ton of them. A ton of these young women giving their virginity to God, being tortured by the governor or the emperor or by this or that person because they would not yield. Agatha's story is that it was the governor Quintianus, and she was afraid, right? They weren't like they just were fearless. I mean, they were, in a certain sense, had a lot of courage. But Agatha, we have what she had said. She prayed in prison, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of all, who sees my heart and knows my desires, I am your sheep, make me worthy to overcome the devil. She was trembling in fear. She was afraid she was going to give in. The governor, among his many torments, famously cut off one of her breasts, is how the legend goes. He threw her back in prison after she'd been tortured. She had her amputated member. She had a vision of St. Peter, and he restored her amputated member back to her. That's part of her legend. And she had said when the governor was doing this, she said, cruel tyrant, are you not ashamed to treat me thus, having nursed at your own mother's breast? So kind of a definite lack of piety on the part of the governor there. But Agatha prayed earnestly to God. Her health was restored to her. Her amputated member was restored. The governor brought her out again and certainly was amazed that this had happened, but it didn't affect his conversion. He ordered her tortured once more, stripped and rolled over burning coals and shards of broken glass. She went back to prison and this time expired there in prison. That was the year 251. Both of these examples, right, the example of Elisabetta and then St. Agnes here, giving their lives for Christ, right? One was a virgin martyr. The other one was a married martyr, we could say. Her life wasn't taken from her, but in a certain sense it was, right? She didn't give her life and die, but she gave her life for 40 or 50 years. It wasn't a good one because of her husband. You know, he had taken a good life from her, and now she had this miserable one. But whether a life is miserable or not is up to us, right? It doesn't have to be. Whether our life is taken from us or made miserable by somebody else, nobody can take our peace, nobody can take our happiness, because it's in Christ our Lord. It's in God, it is in virtue. And so we have the example of both, of martyrdom of a virgin or a long, slow, white martyrdom of this woman. We can imitate this, whether our pain is intense or it's long. It is going to be patient endurance which wins for us that crown. And I tell you, it doesn't matter how long our life is, 80, 90, 100 years in torments, it's all going to reduce to zero after we've been in heaven for an eternity. That's what we really have to keep in mind. So let us pray to these saints for virtue, for courage, and for patience in suffering. St. Agatha, St. Elisabetta, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.